Blog Talk Radio.
Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice again this week on Thursday, March the 6th. A slightly different start this week. We've had a rather sad event this week involving the Keenan team, Cosmic Voice, and Gene Haynes. And I would like to address it. It's been a very traumatic week for all the people involved. We had a similar experience with Universal Voice. A lot of people didn't know the truth behind that, and a lot of the truth that, to do with that incident didn't come out to protect certain people. The same was applied here. Certain people knew what was going on behind the scenes that Neil's posted on his page. I know for a fact Neil didn't want to out that information, but at the end of the day, when faced with a barrage of agenda-driven nonsense, he had no option. You know, this is a distraction to the movement. It was causing distractions and delays to our movement And so in the end, Neil had no option. Now, Jean Haynes, me and her have had a few testy words going back last October, and that's besides the point. I'd like to thank Jean Haynes for all the work she's done and will no doubt continue to do. It's very sad her life has been basically tipped upside down and displayed in the public for public viewing. I'm sure you all listening would rather not have your life put in the public view, but sadly Jean has appeared to listen to two or three people who are agenda driven and sadly are not working in our best interests. I appeal to those three people, you know who you are, we know who you are, to come on side, come on board, or like Rick Light used to say, come to the centre of the room. You're only helping the cabal by continuing this distraction and agenda-driven nonsense that has no foundation. Contrary to what people may think, Drake had no role in this at all. None whatsoever. Gregory Couturier did not threaten anybody. You know, but the information was held back to protect certain people, one of them Jean. Personally, I feel very, very sad for Jean. It's not nice. And sometimes when people accuse us of, who continue to push for further information despite information being given out, you know, sometimes you see the consequences of it. The consequences have arrived this week, and it's not very pleasant for Jean. It wasn't too pleasant for Tolek. It wasn't too pleasant for Denise and Grammy going back for the Universal Voice issue, or Drake for that matter. You know, we're about freedom here, not about personal drama issues. We do this for no personal gain, and we hope and try to avoid the conflicts so we can concentrate on getting it done, as Drake would say. This is the important thing. We must get this done. And these issues are distractions that is only playing into the cabal hands. And I plead again to those three people who, in my opinion, have misguided Jean Haynes all along. It's not their lives that's been spread all over the internet this week. It's Jean's. And for that, Jean, you have my deepest sympathies for that. It's not nice. I wouldn't like mine done the same way. And the final thing is, a lot of it has come up this week about the male and female issue, the labelling. Yes, women may have been involved in this. Does that make them all bad? No, it doesn't. You know, that again is playing into cabal hands by labelling. There's good and bad in every person. Doesn't matter who you are. People say we need to return to a matriarchal society. No, we don't. We've had one before. It didn't work too well. What we do need is balance. Balance of everything. When we achieve that balance, and when all the people come together, we then get what we all want, which is freedom. And that is what all our goals, what Drake works for, what I work for, what Denise, Grammy, Jean Haynes, Neil, and all the team have all worked for. And it's important we all move on. And this will be the last we will say of it. It's an unfortunate distraction. And with that, I'm going to play a piece of music that you'll all be familiar with. And this is important. Hi once again, and welcome to Cosmic Voice. Now, with that out the way, I'm going to hand you over to the star of the show, the man himself, Drake.
Yes, I'll be here.
Good.
I've been kind of looking at things, sniffing some stuff out, and finding some things out that I doubt people are really aware of. But there is an insidious problem on several levels. Neil's post, to kind of get the subject in perspective, talks about pollution and whatnot. And one of the magazines I read sent out an article dealing with plastics. And anybody who really wants to know needs to actually get their head around this. And it ain't so much that they're bombing us with chemtrails, artificially polluting the Pacific Ocean with atomic radiation, or even the stuff they're dropping that's radionic from the chemtrails themselves to make it look like Fukushima's putting out a lot more than it is. GMO problems and all those things mentioned in Neil's post are relevant. They're real. They're here. And they're biting you on the butt, and you don't even know it. These are actually pretty obvious things if you think about it, take a look at it, and consider the ideology behind them. Now, you'll hear excuses from a whole lot of people that everything is this way or that way. And they get the legal backing because of the humongous amount of funds behind the people saying this is how it really is, whether it really is that way or not. In my own research, and I'm not talking about this subject specifically, but others, I've run across a real interesting blockade, firewall, nasty mojammer standing there staring you down. And it is the moneyed few, the ones that would have a tendency to try to control things. Now, they haven't exercised their control to the extent that they could, and whether they really could get away with that or not is questionable. And yet, I put out an article not too long ago about the Internet. It was a small blurb, wasn't really a whole lot in it, but I'm going to make a couple of suggestions. I'm going to get you guys to get your head around this a little bit. Back in the day, when the Founding Fathers started, we lost. Might sound like we won, but we didn't. How did we lose? Well, the country was indebted, and consequently the debt was called because the bankers involved decided they wanted to offer control. Instead of wiping us out financially, it was decided that they would offer us a deal we couldn't refuse. Either you get wiped out, or you take our little bitty deal. Most people don't know or are unaware that your money that you pay in taxes ain't kept here. It does not go into the treasury. And is not used for our benefit. A lot of people will say, oh, yes, it is. Well, oh, no, it ain't. Sorry. The money's sent to a couple of different places. One of those is in Europe, and one of them is in another location. And the interested parties, one of them specifically a banking interest, takes our money. We freely give it now. I want you to understand that. We agree. Yeah, sure, here, take it. And it's lent back to us in interest. This is better known as the artificial, non-existent national debt. This will give you some idea, and I do have people I can get on the show if need be to corroborate what I'm saying. Facts, figures, dates, locations, names, you name it. I want you to think about that. Now, first you lose the Civil War, okay? War of Independence, you lose it. You don't know that you lost it, but you did. It's kept secret. You have certain edicts brought about by certain of our founding leaders that start the ball rolling. One of those was done by George Washington when he created and brought about the existence of federal districts. That was the beginning of the loss of property rights. And accordingly, to give you an example, you don't own your vehicle. Unless you have a certificate of origin, you don't own it. It's required to get title and plates to surrender said instrument to the local government, which in turn destroys it and issues you a title. It's a title of usage, not ownership. It don't tell you anywhere on there that you own said vehicle. That's all of them. Trucks, trailers, buses, cars, motorcycles, you name it. How did these things come about? My. Well, the idea was to subjugate, subvert, and eventually control we the people. Why? Well, if you look into the history books, you'll find that the people that came over here were not the, quote, good Samaritan, fun-loving pioneers that everybody thinks they were. These are people who were offered the gallows or maybe a guillotine or get on the boat. Now, you've heard a lot of people, a lot of different places say get on the bus for whatever reason. Same difference. It's a measure of control. The problem we've got is nobody has addressed this. Well, I've been doing some digging, and that digging has caused me to come to a point of having a real serious problem with interests involved. Those interests are not in our best interest. I'm going to switch phones. Hold on. All right. One of the things that's been done is that the financial tyranny, terrorism, started when the country started 200 years ago, give or take. As I said, we lost that war. How did we lose it? Well, the bank either foreclosed or they offered us a deal. We took the deal. That's where your federal districts came in. That's one. The second part of this goes to Abraham Lincoln, supposedly a real cool dude. And yet there's a serious problem with what people call the Union. Civil War broke the Union, period. The unification of the states was broken with the secession of the southern states. Lincoln decided that he would put military people under his command. Now, this is where you got a puppet on a string, literally, to rule in certain ways, to vote on certain things certain ways, and to basically crush any ideology of freedom. The Union was, at that point, in its infancy, but at the same time, also, a lot of things had been settled. Of those things included certain directions taken that would basically forfeit rights. Now, you got to think about this very carefully. If you had a representative in Congress and the Senate and you seceded, you lost those seats. Military personnel, officers specifically, were put in those places to vote according to the wishes of the commander-in-chief. This is where you get the direct military control. Now, this direct military control had to be relinquished. They didn't have a choice. Why? Well, because after they took the South apart, literally destroyed it totally, they put it back together according to what they thought. Now, you've experienced some of this where somebody thinks that your lifestyle sucks, so they decide to change it for you. Whether you like it or not, don't make no difference. So you got all this going on, way back when. And, yeah, this does lead up to something, and, yes, it's going to be tied into other things. However, coming up to the present day and looking at the history of the United States, some of the things we did in our history suck canal water badly. And I'll give you the American Indian. We figured we had rights that they didn't, and they were outgunned and outmanned. And so we destroyed them, an entire race of people. Some of the things people don't know is that the Indians gave us our Constitution. Now, I want you to consider that very, yeah, it was rewritten, but I want you to consider that very carefully. Think about it. They already had all these things in place. They had an honor system where basically anybody that violated it could be put to death, depending on the violation. Pretty direct and straightforward deal. So, in the history lesson, let's bring it up to date. We had wars that we supposedly stayed out of, and the reason we did was because oligarchs who controlled certain manufacturing interests and raw material interests told us what to do. There's an incident that is on the internet where Standard Oil wasn't delivering the oil to the troops to the military quick enough so that the troops could have some kind of way to get across the pond, power their tanks, run their jeeps, this sort of thing. And Joint Chiefs caught the guy in the lobby of a motel and said, "Hey, look here, butt wipe, you're going to comply or else." And the guy grinned, folded his paper, laid it down, and said, "You know, it's going to be a hell of a hard task to fight a war if you ain't got any fuel at all now, isn't it?" Got up and walked out. Now, think about that. Think about that very carefully. That was one of many incidents. I already put out the thing again about the veterans being fired upon at the order of the federal government that had employed them over a simple bonus. "Oh, we can't afford that. That might mess up my benefits. I got to have my bennies, man." Congress, Senate, President. They were driven out, burned out, and fired upon by our own troops. These are veterans. I want you to understand these things. Then you got the DOD and the VA, who couldn't care 10 cents worth as to the condition of the people that have served them, kept them free, kept them out of the conflicts and off the battlefield. Proof of that is in the benefits offered. They tell you, "Here's your contract, sign it." Okay. What you don't know is that they don't, you know, care. It don't matter. A lot of veterans out there, and I wish that a lot of them would sign up. You can get benefits. You got to fight for them. And, yeah, the battle ain't over. You come home, thought you was free, and you found that it wasn't the same country you left only a short time earlier. When I went to Vietnam in 67, 68, when I come back, this country had changed. You could feel it and smell it, and it was not nice. The old-fashioned morals of watching somebody else's back, making sure their kids didn't get hurt, getting in trouble too bad, and that sort of thing, were gone in 1 year. Unless, been leading up to it, the freedom movement of the 60s, oh boy, you know, how. Flower power and free love and Woodstock and whoopee and, yeah, well, you look at these things, you're going, that's nice, but they didn't accomplish much. Well, yeah, they did. Most of it was played into the hand of the ideology of social unrest. Communists saying, or socialists saying, whichever you might want to put a handle on it, freedom comes from the barrel of a gun. Well, we're in a position today where that may be truer then people understand that we may end up having to actually use the power of the people in that manner. I do not, and I want this perfectly clear to everybody, I do not like the idea of fighting. I hate it. I had plenty enough of it in Vietnam, and that's a long time ago. I would love to be able to put my guns down, but I've been told that there are people out there who are after certain people. Opportunity target. Target of opportunity, come across them and you happen to be in a position to take them out, go ahead. We don't care. That's fine. So I pack a firearm wherever I go. At the very least, I can give them a fight. Even if they were to kill me, I could at least take several of them out and maybe even win the fight before it got started. It varies a bit. I don't think they're going to be stupid enough to assault the house. That would be totally irresponsible. You're going to waste a lot of everything. This leads up to attitudes. One of the attitudes is prevalent today in politics is the division between conservative and progressive or liberal. The ideologies expressed in conservatism and liberalism have been stretched in just about every direction possible. The basis for each is found in a combination of history, as well as psychology and all, sociology and all them other things, but primarily look at the history. Certain things that have been implemented in terms of plans are of a socialist nature, meaning that they exercise control in return for a benefit. Hello, VA. Yeah. Well, they don't have absolute control anymore. They did a few too many things to too many people who decided to object, and they have found their butts getting wrung out in court. No, Dink, you don't do that. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you believe, and I don't care what your objection is. This is what the law states. You don't like it. How about, take the bus? Well, the understanding of making progress means that a person who takes that action is a progressive. What is progress? It sure as hell ain't taking everything from everybody who does something for a living or has the ability to spend some cash and giving it to everybody who don't feel like they need to get off the couch for any reason whatsoever. That is not any kind of freedom for anybody. Quit your job because the benefits pay better. Minimum wage needs to be raised so we can fix that. Well, maybe. Maybe the ideology of the welfare to work program is not all that bad in its basis. Maybe the idea that somebody could be trained while being helped to a point where they can actually do something that they like to do. You don't take somebody who hates washers and dryers and put them in a laundry. It don't work well. You do not make somebody do dishes when they're going to break them because they really hate doing what they're doing. You find something that they kind of fit with, combination of talents, whatever, and you train them to be a professional in that area. Now, here's the trick. If you never want to work another day in your life, find something you love to do and do the hell out of it. Do it till your fingers bleed. And you'll never be disappointed. And here's the cool part. In that particular area, you will succeed far and head and shoulders above others in other professions that are supposed to be much more successful. Why? Well, the human spirit's interesting. We have, on occasion, stood up to really nasty things and prevailed because of the will of the people to accomplish the goal, no matter what it was. And the determination to make sure that it happened and the guts and tenacity to do it. And a lot of people say, ooh, just do it. Yeah, well, just do it. It ain't no big thing, but it can make all the difference in the world, and it can make a difference throughout the world. Now, this fun and games with the idea that progressivism is the only way to go is horse hockey. I've expressed this to unions on varying occasions. I'm going to hit on it again. And I want the unions, anybody out there in the union, anybody who knows somebody in the union, you might want to express this. You decided to unionize for two reasons. Primarily, to protect the employee, but secondly, to see whether or not you could bargain to an agreement where you got a little more maybe, or something was taken care of, or you got benefits or whatever. Whereas the only benefit you had before was, you don't like the way we do things and you're out of a job. Don't matter what you what your position was, don't matter what your length of service, don't matter who you was or who you knew. Well, I'll talk to so-and-so. Who you think told me that? Forget you. The Waterfront. Man, that's an old movie, but it is just as prevalent and correct today as it was back then. You don't join the union, you can't work in a lot of these things called closed shop. They wanted to make sure that people, individuals, free-thinking, free citizens of a free country were required, in order to have employment, to have a union card. Ooh, I mean, that's a bit strong. Let's back that up, and they did. Let's make sure that it is comprehensive. Let's make sure that this is real. Let's look at things in a realistic manner. You get a certain amount of revenue, and you get a certain amount of bills you got to pay. Well, somebody comes along and upsets the apple cart, what do you do? Well, the teachers wanted a raise, and I suggest this. How about we have a vote, a referendum? You guys want to pay extra taxes for a school system that's going down the toilet because of the way it's administered? Yeah, think about it. And the manner in which the unions have garnered control of those school systems? Or do you want them to back off a bit and we can put this into the budget in such a manner so that by the time we reach the ultimate goal of the union, we can afford to pay for it without raising taxes? Think about that. Think about it carefully. A lot of unions took the pearls of wisdom, the wise advice of the heel jack on this end of the internet and followed along with it a bit. That is simple. A union also has to take into consideration what the limitations are, and there are some limitations. You don't bust a bank and this sort of thing. This ideology that because you are unionized you can get away with anything has sunk a whole bunch of companies. This is why Right to Work came out. There are the people who pay the taxes, who support the public unions and or product costs, decided that they didn't think that the unions were a good idea. I don't think that's fully correct, but Right to Work is okay so long as you're willing to pay somebody comparable wages to what the union job would pay, comparable benefits, so long as it doesn't screw up the price of the product to a point where nobody will buy it or can afford to. Hey, man, I can save 20 to 50 grand if I buy an Airbus instead of something from Boeing. Oops. Yeah, it's real simple. It ain't complicated. You don't bust a bank. You don't screw it up. Well, this is a form of protection for the workers themselves. People got onto that idea and thought that was not too bad of an idea. I mean, it's called common sense, which is, they call it common. Why does it seem so rare is the question. But the deal goes to the understanding of progressive. Well, you offer an expression of conservatism, or you question or offer challenges to any progressive person, and they go off the deep end. They jump up and down. There are a lot of people who have bought into the system to the point where they will defend that system, period, no matter how wrong it is. And it doesn't matter what level it is. It don't matter what it is that it's doing. But that the system is so cool that, things, it doesn't matter. Now, I'm going to hit on Obamacare. Pelosi did it to us, and that's a lot of Democrats are going, ooh, they're distancing themselves from all of that. Why? It's a friggin' mess. It's socialist in nature. It's designed to destroy this country, among other things. You got to pass it to see what's in it. Well, no, you don't have to vote on something you haven't read or have been given reasonable time to consider, period. You don't got to do that. Well, that depends on whether or not there's skeletons in the closet and they got some kind of something over your head. And they say, you either vote for it or we're going to start publishing. Now, you think about that. one little indiscretion that's caught on camera, something that's recorded very closely, and you got some real serious problems. And so, you know, everybody's probably seen the news. If you haven't, you needed to have watched it. And it's called The Hearings. A certain IRS official refuses to do anything but Fifth Amendment unless given immunity. Well, I would like to have a private meeting with her and find out whether or not she can take down some people. And if she can and doesn't mind being barred from any and all public offices and any offices of trust for life, I might agree to immunity. Why? Well, who gave her the order to do that? And she got proof. If you do, you got the deal. I would give that in exchange for somebody higher up the food chain, being cut off from their food and dropped in a used outhouse pit. That would just make my day. So, one, and I don't know if people have watched the hearings, end of the hearing, this guy's going, he has lost it. He's over the top. What is this one-sided? Well, okay. And the man says, okay, you got a question, ask it. And come out with one question. So they turned him off. Oh, this is terrible. You can't do that. Well, yes, you can. That's what the chair of a meeting is responsible for, control of the meeting. And I was listening to The Five, and one of the progressives on The Fives, the only real progressive on The Five, says, oh, that's illegal. You can't own it, really? Well, legally, yes, you can. Sorry, but you're wrong, like it or not. And, yeah, if you want to call in, call in. We can talk about progressivism, and we can talk about taking care of people correctly. You do not hide your progressivism and being a progressive and intentionally trying to subjugate everything by saying, ooh, I'm a conservative. Can't you tell by the way I vote? Can't you tell by my demeanor? Oh, boy. You know, and that's a challenge to the people who think they are conservatives directly to the House and Senate. Hey, how about this? How about we uphold the Constitution for a change and quit playing with ourselves? Republican-dominated House? You had a chance to do that, and you ain't done diddly squat. Nobody's seen you stand up and say no. And you do have the legal parameters whereby you can take matters into your own hands if people won't listen. There are ways. Then you got these things going on internationally. You got the Ukraine blowing up, and you got mouthpieces playing with it. The fat boy idiot that decided he was going to give away all the blood shit that was shed, all the lives lost in Vietnam, Mr. Henry Kissinger, opened his fat face today, says, oh, here's how you fix it. Really? Okay, fat boy, how come you ain't over there first? And I'm sure the government can provide you an air flight. Go over there and make peace. Show me. I don't think you've got the guts, first of all. And secondly, I don't think you got the capability. And third, you'd probably give it all away to Russia anyway, just like you did in Vietnam. Uh-huh. That's what everybody thinks of certain people. Oh, he's outside the system. Why did they bring that boy back? Yeah, he opens his mouth and says stuff all the time. He supposedly was out of the system. Now, all of a sudden, they drag him back in. Hey, hey, boy, we own you. Come here. Miss Benghazi, Hillary Clinton, decides to call Putin a junior Hitler. Ms. Clinton, I would suggest you be very careful about who you decide to play games with. Putin is not somebody you play games like that with. And I did, I believe, post an article recently on Benghazi, the cover-up. And I posted some stuff about the from Veterans Today about the problems of the intel community and how they had failed. I don't think they failed. I really don't. And I'll tell you why. Because I have seen some reports that I'm not supposed to be able to see that, to me, are pretty damning. And it's reports from the spec ops community, the intel community, where they told them, hey, it's coming, and they didn't hear it. They refused to listen. This is where somebody who says, you know, we need to do this or do that, does not get heard simply because there's another agenda, one that's superior. The people that were in charge, hello, Ms. Hillary, stipulated that people be sacrificed because what they were doing was not exactly kosher. It was not exactly cool, but they was doing it anyway. They just wanted more. And now, we already give you more, and you want more again? I don't think so. Okay, how about we go public with it? Within 24 hours of that stipulation, there's four dead bodies. There was a big fun and games there. Now, everybody's heard that we support Al-Qaeda. You got to have a decent enemy. You got to have something that is the boogeyman that's going to come get you while you're sleeping, kind of a deal, in order to really have an enemy. Used to be, ooh, the Russians are coming. Ooh, the Russians are coming. Oh, my God. Well, no. They ain't coming. They're not that stupid. Behind every blade of grass is a citizen with a gun. Why do you think Russia turned down the opportunity to invade our country? And it was offered. Why do you think China asked them if what are you, insane? Come on now. We already did the statistics. You want to hear them? Yeah, we'd like to hear them. Okay. 80 to 85, 90% casualties on both sides? There'll be nobody left to do anything anyway. What are you, crazy? We're not interested. Forget you. Bye. Clunk, and they hang the phone up. Yeah, these were offered unofficially through unofficial channels. Offered. So you got give it away, fat boy Kissinger, coming out of the woodwork again. I mean, that slime ought to crawl back under the rock. He came out from under, and they ought to concrete it over so it can't get back out. Clinton has already killed four people on purpose, intentionally. Closest we could get would be manslaughter one, an accessory to manslaughter one. The people that did it, that were responsible for doing it, still working in the government. They gave up their jobs in one spot so they could work a job in another. Some of them actually even got better money coming back full time. You got to understand these things. You got one personal and three different jobs full time. It ain't enough hours. You got to sleep sometime. I would suggest that what the hell difference does it make, Clinton, that the Hitler label fits her much better than it does Putin. Now, I'm not going to say that Putin and other people in other different offices have not sacrificed people. They have. Sometimes it's unavoidable. And I got caught in some of that in Vietnam. I know about it. When you see firsthand people you knew that ain't there no more because you couldn't do nothing about it, that's a little different than somebody who could. And, there were generals that ordered people to offer relief, who were relieved of their command within minutes of the time they issued the order. The order was countermanded by higher-ups. There's no excuse for that horse hockey. And, no, I don't think Benghazi's going to go away. Anybody comes out of office, I think, needs to be charged criminally and prosecuted. And I mean to an extent that this country ain't seen in a long time. So, you know, there's method to this madness. Now, I went back in time, and some people don't understand about selective horticulture. This is where you selectively take the plant that's got the biggest and best flowers or fruit or whatever it is, and you cultivate it. That's selective horticulture. Big difference from going in there and injecting the seed with some kind of crazy chemical and hope you hit the target, like they do with genetic modifications. You're liable to have a Frankenbean that bites you instead of you biting it. I mean, you want a horror story? You think zombies are bad? Think about going out in the garden and they'd eat you. Yeah, Little Shop of Horrors was a freaked out story a long time ago about a mean green people-eating machine, better known as a plant, survived on people. So where do these things end? We got this pollution going on of different types. We got these things going on of different types. Our record sucks just as badly as anybody else, but was it our record? Truly, was it our record? You got to remember to take a look. When you look at these things, they're damning, but not of everybody that's an American, not of everybody that was here. That ain't the way it was. Now, you've got a lot of really heavy, hard discrimination and one acts of violence that didn't have any basis for them to have happened at all. Somebody gets beat up, and people got killed, yeah. But not a wipeout. What you have is you got two classes, two areas. You got we the people who care about things, and you got the others who don't. They don't care one way or the other at all about nothing. Us, kids, don't matter. They'll sacrifice their grandma just because they can get the life insurance. This is what you're looking at. Some it's evil, something that is nasty. Some of the things that are called crimes against humanity are committed mostly by these people, and some of these things are nasty. It'll give you nightmares if you see it up close and personal. And so the gist of this comes out to where does this lead us? Well, you remember that oil spill down the Gulf? Wiped out the Gulf of Mexico? Well, they're saying everything's fine, except you still get globs of crude oil all nastied up by the salt water coming up on the beaches. Still got that. Still going on. They don't know exactly how much oil leaked into the Gulf, but they do know that the life down there is pretty much dead. Well, how did that come about? What is the deal? Well, it's pretty simple. Quite a few years back, they decided to stomp out the hillbillies in the Appalachian Mountains. And they were fairly successful. The ones they couldn't stomp out, they drafted. And they made sure they got on the front line so they didn't have to deal with them twice. that's part of that article, the Great White Ghetto that was posted. I mean, you guys need to catch up on what's going on. They wiped it out. Some, I don't know, more than a dozen states have felt that. So... that was intentional. What'd they do? They come through and they clear-cut the forest. That means that the people that lived off the land didn't have no critters around because there wasn't nobody home. Nothing for them to eat. They had to leave. Well, if there ain't nothing for the people to eat, they got to leave. Big control factor over the people. Remember it. Think about it. That's coming up, too. But they're using a thing called Corexit. Yeah, it's supposed to be as nice, as mild-mannered as dishwashing detergent. You can wash dishes in it all day. Yeah, except that it does genetic modifications to your skin, bones, teeth, hair, internal organs. You breathe it, you breathe enough of it, it'll kill you. That's how nice Corexit is. Yeah, right. Dove dishwashing detergent in my butt. Anyway, what's happened is that everybody knows that Florida comprises a large portion of the Gulf of Mexico in terms of the amount of land covered. The area of the length of the shoreline covers a big area of that. So what happened? The oil spill wiped out the Gulf. It also seeped into the bayous and the back countries far enough that most of the stuff down there tastes funny, smells funny, don't cook right. You get three-headed frogs, fish with external organs on the outside, all kind of fun and game things. Monsanto knows all about this. You ought to see what some of the experiments did when certain GMO foods were fed to certain critters. Ooh, nasty. I think about getting pregnant and exploding. That'll give you an idea of some of the fun. Well, this is also true of the oil spill. It did the same sort of thing. It wiped that friggin' thing out. And when I say wiped it out, I mean you're killing lifestyles. Now, the people in the bayou live off the swamp. They live off the critters there. Well, when the critters all die, they ain't got nothing to eat. They gotta leave. It's not difficult to understand population control. How do you make mass migrations? Cut the food supply. give them all the water they want to drink if you can stand it. And you'll find that people are having to leave. Why? All of a sudden you got sores on your skin. Some of the people that used to work with me live down that way and have had that problem, just to be honest with you. I mean, you know, seriously. And I agree and I understand. Detox doesn't work when you keep getting in toxic stuff all over you, in you. You can't eat, if you grow a garden down there, it's going to be full of Corexit and or oil sludge of some form or another. Some of it's radioactive. I mean, you know, it goes on and on. And, yeah, I know everybody's heard about this fun with the idea of making sure that people cannot be self-sufficient. Everybody's heard about this. Everybody's heard about the pollution of different types. And yet it needs to be brought up, and it needs to be made perfectly clear. And part of it is missing. Now, what part is that? Well, GMOs are late bloomers, genetically modified organisms. They've only been around a very short time. There are other things that have been going on a lot longer. Fluoride's one of them. That's an old one. But for something that dissolves concrete, asphalt, rock, oh sure, I'm sure that's good for you. I'm sure you're supposed to have that in your mouth. Why does the toothpaste tube tell you to call poison control if somebody eats too much of it? That stuff ought to be totally harmless, but it ain't. Why? Because they decided they wanted to kill you. That's why. Remember that Agenda 21? I mentioned this a few times before. I posted about it. That's basically where it lies. The ideology is to reduce the population. The useless eaters need to go. Well, they have the means to clean up the mess. Think about that. They got the means to clean it up. Now, Corexit, it's supposed to be a oil dissolver. Well, there's a problem with it. It dissolves equally well in water, either salt or fresh. Don't matter. And due to the fact that you have a heavy amount of evaporation from the Gulf that translates into storms and moves across Florida, guess what Mr. Corexit did? He marched right on land and contaminated a whole load of things. Now, right now, the only thing that they've found is that an orange that looked just perfectly nice now outside, you cut that mother open, it's rotten. That corrects it directly. Think about that. Something that's supposed to be a remedy causes that kind of problem. Hello, GMO, are you supposed to remedy the problem with plants not being able to take drought situations or low water, extreme heat and all that? Oh, boy. We might get into global engineering, known as the problem we got with global warming. An inconvenient truth is that the temperature has been going down on average. Sorry about that, global warmists. Sorry about the people that believe that crap. And it's skewered science. Why is it skewered science? Well, the people with the money control the scientists. Oh, you mean we don't need to fund you anymore because you disagree with us, right? No, I didn't say that. Well, then you agree with us, right? You really mean it? So you agree with us, right? I guess. Can you dummy up a scientific report that shows that this is happening when it really ain't? You really want me to do that? You agree with us, right? And on and down the road it goes. They can destroy whole universities, not just one individual. And, yeah, they can then pop that one first, and if somebody objects, then they can close down the university in a heartbeat. So, long range. Oil spills new. That's new stuff. People are scared to death that we're going to have a problem with Yellowstone. It's going to go off. Well, they played with it, pinged it, just letting everybody know that they could set it off, maybe, they think, possibly. They went to places in the east and demanded funds, and when those funds were not forthcoming directly, the threat was made that they could be put under 6 foot of water. Whole country. It's called Weather Wars. It's called Planetary Manipulation. It's called HARP. It's called Scalar Technologies. Stuff been around for, I don't know, I'm going to estimate 50, 60 years. It's been known. Wasn't very proficient right at first. Of course, we had some clunky machinery doing it. So, you know, it went from there. Now, I want you to think about this very closely and very carefully. Everybody knows that radiation poisoning kills quickly. Well, it depends on the amount. It doesn't kill quickly if it's in very minute amounts. The world, and I'm talking about the whole planet, due to the use of depleted uranium in munitions, everywhere, not just in one place, everywhere, has raised the background radiation levels. Now, they ain't dangerous yet, but they're enough to cause questionable problems in nervous systems, internal organs, etc. Now, I'm going to hit on something that I just got posted. I was hoping I posted it earlier, but it didn't happen that way, and it deals with a subject everybody knows about or thinks they do, and this is called long-term pollution. Now, I mentioned that fluoride was one of the old ones on the block. Agent Orange actually happened back in the 20s. That's when they first discovered it. They discovered it sort of by accident, where somebody dropped a jug of one thing and it fell into a pot with that was full of something else, and the resulting fumes wiped out like 35, 40 people. Dead. I mean, flopped over dead kind of thing. They found them all standing. They found all the bodies laying around. They couldn't figure out what happened. Well, by then it had dissipated to an extent, and yet the people that went there and first discovered it also got sick. Now, back in the day, you wore boots. You wore long sleeves and you wore long pants, because you'd be out in the woods. You'd be working on stuff that would tear you up, rip your skin otherwise. Well, you'd rather have ripped pants than you would ripped skin, so you wore protective clothing. And these people went out there and checked them out, and nobody lived over a week. Now, think about this. This is, you think secondhand smoke's bad. This is secondhand pollution from a simple thing called Agent Orange. Now, this is full toxic level, but there it is. They know about exactly what it does. They did tests. Everything was proven. Laboratory tests prove what it does. Now, I'm going to suggest everybody quit buying Roundup. That is Agent Orange. Anybody don't know that by now, spread the word to everybody and their mother-in-law. See somebody using that, and you need to walk up and say, hey, did you know you're using Agent Orange? Do what? That says around it. It's Agent Orange. It's the same thing you use in Vietnam. And it's got a half-life of 200,000 years, and Vietnam's loaded with it, and they don't know what to do with it. That's where the situation is. They don't know if the United States government should go in there and take care of the problem. And you talk about a Superfund, think about a whole country. Now, we're going to get to the real long-term one. In the beginning, back in the Model T days, wasn't much going on, but there was a lot of discoveries made over a period of about 10, 15 years, maybe 20 or so. Around late 1930s to the 50s. That area right there is critical to understand the Industrial Revolution. Anybody who wants to know what the hell went on in terms of the pollution from pumping oil out on the ground, because it was sludgy and it was easier to use the good stuff, and they get any thick stuff out of the way so you get to the good stuff, and it just pump it right out on the ground, it don't matter. Uh-huh. Remember, I've talked about this. Throw something in the ocean, it's gone. Well, now those drums of nerve agents and chemical weapons are beginning to fail, and this stuff's beginning to bubble to the surface. And believe me, it ain't nice. Some of that stuff out there is nasty, and there's thousands of millions of tons of this stuff that we've dumped. Yeah, that's right. Think of a super tanker loaded with it and then just going out there and taking a big dump. That's basically what went on. Now, one of the areas that came up and started coming up and becoming prevalent and what everybody was looking for a use for was plastics. Now, I have had a posting from an article from Mother Jones Magazine about plastics. And the question is, are any plastics safe? That's the question. And I will suggest, you know, it ain't a quick read. This is a long read, but it covers each and almost every last kind of plastic there is. And you remember the fun and games with the cigarette companies, how the lawyers and the scientists and everybody went ring around to Rosie for so long? Well, when the cigarette, when the tobacco industry started failing and having to heave up their guts to cover the medical and legal expenses, these people started jumping ship. All the scientists and legal authorities that played the tobacco game now work for the plastics companies and or chemical companies. That's Dow, that's, you know, Monsanto, Bayer. Oh, yeah. You didn't know about that. Probably Bayer Aspirin is one of the big chemical companies on the planet. These people produce things that will kill you. Don't kill you real quick. What's interesting about plastics is that if they are done in a certain manner, they secrete certain things that fool with your biological system totally, the whole friggin' thing, not just one little part, but the whole friggin' thing. What you got to understand is that when you dig into it, specifically if you read that article, you're going to start learning about what happens when things hit the fan. And this thing is worse than any other kind of pollution I've found other than atomic energy. And you remember, we used to do atomic tests and stuff, expose soldiers to it. Everybody that was exposed is dead, and not by old age, by specific direct impact of radiation on them. Bear that in mind. They used to dump chemical agents. They did it in Indiana, they did it in Florida, and did it in several places, just to see what kind of reaction they'd get from the population. Yeah, all of a sudden everybody gets a rash. Now you know who did it. And this was quite a few years ago. They're doing it a little less now, but it's called chemtrails. They're being obvious about it. They're not sneaking up in the middle of the night and dumping this stuff. But plastics, look into that. Read that article and get yourself an understanding, a working knowledge of what is going on. Most of the stuff, and I want you to think about, where's plastics? And do I need to wash my hands every time I touch one? Think about your phone. Think about your clothes, your underwear, your car, your house, the utensils you use, all of it. And it don't matter if it's hard. It doesn't matter if they tell you it's safe. What matters is what it does. And what's interesting is that a little small amount, and these are called trace amounts, parts per million, parts per billion, that sort of level where you can't even hardly tell it's there unless you got a really good lab. When those things are put into the food chain, or you're exposed to it in some way or another, whether you breathe it or eat it or having to rub up against it, you little baby. Well, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later, you have diabetes, bone problems, arthritis, all of this stuff. In that article, it says, pick a disease. It can be directly correlated to plastics. So I want everybody to understand, you think that the GMOs and these other pollutants are really bad. Well, they're just trying to hurry the process. Most people that are 30 years old have been exposed. Almost everybody I know of has been exposed to some extent. And it's a long-term deal. These diseases, these problems, your butthole falling out or your liver giving up or your kidneys quitting working, it don't happen right away. 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the line, all of a sudden you got these serious health problems, and there's not usually more than one. It's usually a combination of 3 to 5 on average. Pick a disease. Read that article. Tom, I'm past the high point.
Yes, we are. Zach? Yes, hopefully we'll get those the health machines to fix that in the future.
When we come back, I'm gonna have a little intel for some people. All right.
Right. Okay. A couple of songs, be about 8 or 9 minutes. And before I go, I missed it on the early part. I'd like to say thanks to all the members of Cosmic Voice as well. I thought you have dealt with this issue we've had this week admirably. And I'm very proud of it. And on that note, we're going to have a couple of songs.
Takes me a lifetime.
Hi all, and welcome back to the second hour. That was Deep Purple, Love Conquers All, and The Doors, The Roadhouse Blues. Drake, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I ain't got no place else to go. And we got a skunk outside, so I don't want to do that either.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. I told you and other people that I'll have a little information. HSBC, ever hear that one? Ain't accepting Americans, period. That's a big bank now. I want you to really, you know, think about that. I want you to really consider the ideologies that things are in a process of changing. Now, you think that everything has been not happening, and you got this notice, cease and desist by Neil put out, everybody put one out. If somebody ain't done that and you got some person that you really want to have a go at, go for it. Now, I understand that Connecticut decided that the confiscation of guns door-to-door was not a good idea. Imagine that. You think about all the gunfights that would start. Let's see here. Oh, one of the people that I've had on the show, and a person that I consider sort of a friend, has decided to join the ranks and help us out in terms of the K group. So, you know, it's basically an interesting situation. And we've had governments from different places on the planet that have decided to join with our efforts. So, in other words, this no ain't a dead deal. It ain't gone away, and things are not going to stop. They're actually beginning to pick up. Some of these people understand what's going on to an extent that they understand what the actual position and situation conditions are in such a manner that they are now finding that the difference between what was and what is beginning to happen, people are beginning to wake up to the fact. Yeah. And these are people that are part of reasonably sovereign governments that understand what we're looking to do. And they not only agree, but they're actually following in with us. Now, I've been looking for that for a long time. And one of the things that really put my mind over the top in terms of these things was the idea that the officials of foreign nations had not gotten with us. That's one of the things that bothered me. I thought, well, if this is such a good deal, how come they ain't coming on board? So I started looking into these things. The people that are involved with varying freedom efforts and whatnot understand that it takes a lot of time to get on the internet and look around for newsworthy items and find stuff that people ain't paying attention to, and also be able to have a situation where you can garner intel from inside sources, let's say, and those people are beginning to open back up to me, irrespective as to some people's opinions. My opinion is not one of animosity towards anybody other than those who would reduce us to slaves. That's the animosity I got. Anybody that would do that, I need to take a long walk off a short pier. We need to get rid of them. Incarceration would be fine. I did get a call from a person and got welcomed to the Citizens Grand Jury site. I signed up as a juror. Now, they need a state coordinator, I was told, so I may take that position. I don't know yet. Depends on how my time can be worked out. But it gives the how-tos and particulars on the website. And I personally wholeheartedly support that effort. So there's varying reasons about that. You have a citizens grand jury put in place, and after it's put in place, and certain things transpire, they get certified. The certification carries the same weight as any other grand jury known, period. So, you know, in light of that, that's some parts of what is going on. Now, one thing I have not mentioned much is Kiev, Ukraine, Crimea. There are inherent problems with a lot of the things going on over there because they're driven by foreign interests. They got oil and natural gas and some rare metals, and everybody wants to get their skinners on it. So everybody's interested. Now, something people are not aware of is that Putin was invited in. They asked for assistance, and as soon as that came about, things calmed down. Now, that does not mean that the animosity toward the corrupt government has gone away. That's being addressed. Believe me, it's being addressed. Irrespective as to doing deals with the Ukraine, you need to have somebody in there that you can at least have some confidence in and trust. Crimea is supposed to take a vote to secede from the Ukraine, and that probably will not carry the weight it should. Most of the world leaders, and I'm not going to say they're the good ones or the bad ones, I'm just saying a lot of the opinions from around the planet are that they should not do that. Why? Well, the size of a country dictates things. If you have a country that is sizable with a reasonable population for its size, it gets a lot tougher to deal with them than it does an itty-bitty one. And this is the differential. A lot of people want Russia to gobble up the Ukraine, and from what I can gather and from what my Russian sources tell me, that's not the ideology behind it at all. That the naval bases and personnel and whatnot and the people that live there who are of Russian descent are supposedly being protected. That, as far as I can tell, is fairly truthful. You'll see a lot of this and that on a lot of different news channels. Specifically, Fox News has got part of it right. And also part of it wrong. You've got people sounding off, and long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, ooh, we're going to do this to you. Well, the strategic elements don't line up correctly. And by that I mean that the damage that can be done through the Soviets' closing of certain things and prohibitions of certain things can do the other side much more damage than we can do to them. And you got to bear this in mind. Putin plays chess, and he's good at it. The type of chess he's playing right now, generally you don't go into a situation like that without having a winning hand. Now, they come up with this other part, Georgia, the little excursion in Georgia by Russia. Well, the CIA, Mossad, and a few other groups decided they were going to cause a civil war in Georgia. They decided they were going to take over the parts that didn't want to participate. As soon as they started to move, and this is funny, there are a lot of tunnels and caves, large caverns, this sort of thing, in that area. And Putin had loaded trains, loaded with troops, tanks, material, support, and all that, ready to go. He knew it was coming. And all of a sudden, these turkeys with the two magazines went up against the troops, totally outnumbered, outpositioned, and totally outgunned. And all of a sudden, that ended. Right quick. This particular problem with the Ukraine is a bit different, and yet it also comes into the same sort of play. You started out with several specific interest groups. Now, these are the corporate tell them what to do types, and you get these stupid soldiers, and you can be in an agency, don't matter, and it's stupid for you to go shed your blood on the blood field on the in the battle when it don't mean nothing. All of this is a charade. It's a distraction. It's also an attempt. They tried to start World War III, couldn't get it done. They wanted to get heavy involvement. Anybody remember 9/11? We ought to go to war and kill them all. Didn't happen, did it? They lost that one. Well, let's go to Syria and we'll see what we can. But that didn't happen either. So you got three strikes. I don't know if they're out yet. I do know that they are not in a position to do much, according to World War III, at this point. Now, anybody, and I'm talking about anybody, any country who has nuclear weapons, watch it. You got nuclear power stations, watch it. You have any kind of small unrest groups around anywhere, watch your security in terms of somebody getting shot who's doing guard duty, that sort of thing. The things that would foment or start the fun and games. And if anybody didn't notice, before the Ukraine situation, you had a whole bunch of explosions and bombings and this and that going along everywhere. You've got people in Afghanistan and Iraq that don't agree with the horse hockey that they're being put upon. Now, if you got somebody that has almost unlimited funds and they have put heavy investments into places and they call in their favors, you're going to have car bombs and this and that. One of the studies done, and this is something a lot of people don't know, but one of the studies done was taking evidence from the, quote, crime scene, wherever the explosion took place, whatever type it was, and comparing the explosive signature to known explosives. There's probably 25, maybe 30 different types of C4 plastic explosives of that type out there. Each one has a specific chemical signature, whether it's unused or unexploded, or whether it's been expended. Doesn't matter. It's got a specific chemical signature, and you can tell not only which one it was, but where it came from, who manufactured it. I'm going to ask a question, and I want everybody to think about this. Our ordnance, and I mean our heavy weapons, mortars, bombs, artillery, have been improved. In Vietnam, a lot of the time, stuff just didn't go off. It was either too soggy or landed in a place that was too soft for it to be detonated, irrespective. You had a lot of munitions laying around. I mean, they're still finding bombs in different places all over the planet from World War II. So the same thing applies to that. Now, with the improvement in the ordnance, we got like a 99%, better than a 99% average of expenditure of an ordnance, whether it's whatever kind of explosive ordnance it might be, meaning that all but one in 100 goes off. Now, if you think about the number of rounds expended, and you can look these up, the statistics are online, you'll find that there's no way without bringing in, and I'm talking about going on the black market and buying explosives, there's no way that that would supply them, not with the explosions they've been doing. So somebody's supplying them. I would strongly suggest somebody that knows somebody in a lab somewhere, get some information, bring it to us. We will publish it. I just don't care anymore about stepping on somebody's toes, because those toes usually are trying to be shoved up our butt in a Gestapo boot, either that or they want to step on your neck and control you permanently, period. Now, a lot of people out there don't cotton to that. They don't believe that this is possible. Can't happen in the United States. Yeah, well, guess what? Not only is it possible, it's being done. People are being killed because they're going to provide evidence that proves that these people are crooks. Yeah, and it happens regularly. I mean, how many deaths you got to have? How many bankers are targeted? Well, now we're up to like 1,200. Now, those bankers, to date, are sitting back going, no, I ain't on that list. Some of you guys are, and I would seriously suggest you get in touch with one of our websites and leave us a message to get in touch with you. We can arrange for secure communications if need be. Yeah, that's right. Secure communications are available, believe it or not. And I offer that little extension to every one of you, one of these people. And I'm not going to just offer it to bankers alone. I'm going to tell you that if you're an intelligence officer and you got proof, and I don't care if it's at the level of Snowden, doesn't matter to me. I know ways to cause things to be released so that everybody knows what it is without actually releasing the documentation, without violating the laws concerning classified information. I know how to do that. So it's an offer. It's out there. And if you'd like to ring their bell, make their day, or whatever you feel like you want to do, or get even, I'm making it available. And I imagine we probably got some questions, Tom?
Yes, I'd like to go over a few things with you first. The nuclear weapon issue, we've mentioned before that they're not an issue. Is that still the case?
It's not an issue, is that what you said?
Yeah, we mentioned when we were with Tanath and Sunfire that the nuclear weapons were sort of inactive or inoperable. Is that still the case?
From what I can tell, it is.
Yeah.
Now, there's a little sideline to this, and that is the the problem of suppression of information, and I'm going to hit you on the head with it. People are aware of advancement in technologies. You experience that because you get to buy a computer about every 2 years at the most. You experience that when your car can't keep up, either in performance or mileage. You experience it when you have a perfectly good $1,000 camera that won't talk to Windows 7 because it got to XP and that was about its limit, kind of thing. Well, you've noticed, and if you haven't noticed, you should be very well aware that technological advances have been being hidden from us. This is obvious from some of the things that we put on the show lately, and things people are discovering all the time. Well, some of these technological advancements deal with a combination of concentration of biological elements and what would be considered basic elemental, unstable elementals. A nuclear weapon, everybody has heard about the suitcase nuclear weapon. Those come from about the late 70s, early 80s. So you got another 20, 30 years in there for advancement in terms of size and things of this nature. People have heard about nanotechnology, and yet they don't really quite believe it's real. Well, I want you to think about a golf ball, and I want you to think about several kiloton or megaton minimum releasement capability of a nuclear weapon that size. Begin to get the picture of this. Think about a medium-sized city, half a million people, say. Where could you hide a golf ball? And that ain't fear porn. That's real. It's been available for 10 years or so that I know of. And there's other things. We've been threatened unofficially by certain entities that think they want to be in control. With the combination of that and releasement of biological weapons that are extraordinarily insidious. You think flesh-eating bacteria is bad, think about something that would eat you up in a matter of minutes, and you begin to get the picture. As I said, advancements in these technologies has been prolific. Where's the money been going? How many? We got 2,500 labs in the United States that work on nothing but this type of thing. 2,500, they're all over the place. If one of them things, I hope the toilet don't back up. But really, I really do. I pray that their plumbing is tight. They've had two labs where learning-based nanotechnology, and you're talking about something that is microns in size, with a capability of differential logic, meaning that it's not quite intelligent, but it'll learn. Now, you saw that in Terminator. I have a CPU that is a learning processor. Okay, well, think about a nanotechnology. That's a learning processor. Don't learn quite that same level, but it learns. They've had several labs that I know of. I know where a couple of them were. And when I say were, I mean past tense. These things are sealed off, the area is sealed off, and nobody goes around those things, period. I'll tell you why. It's called leaky plumbing. How do you control something that can pass through glass? Now, I want you to think about that real close. How do you control something that can go between molecules? How do you control that? Well, they tried a bunch of different ways, and on several occasions they escaped. They're out there in the woods. Now, you want a genetically modified organism? Think about what would happen if you got a bad case of nanoparticles. Lord knows whether you'd glow in the dark or what the situation might be. Your appetite might change from regular old food to people. Ooh, the zombies are coming, you know, or something of this nature. Who knows? But I do know that this is real, and I have seen what some of these things can do firsthand because I happen to be stationed in places that were in close proximity to more than one of the failed labs. And being the crazy mother that I was when I was younger, I had a tendency to climb fences and go look-see for myself. Well, I did that twice. First time didn't really see much of nothing. I mean, it was a little strange in there, but plants weren't quite right, things like that, but I didn't worry about it. Nothing tried to bite me. I thought, well, that's, you know, this is a whole lot of nothing. So I turned around, got my butt out of there. Second time was not so nice. A couple of things did try to come after me. Now, you have no idea how scary it is when something can pass through solid objects on the run right after you. You talk about scary. I didn't know I could leap six-foot fences until that happened, but believe me, I cleared it with plenty of room, and I did not break stride, and I could run pretty fast. When that happened, I looked like one of them cartoon characters that jumps up out of the water when the shark's going to bite him on the butt and goes bzzz, right dead across the water. And I didn't stop till I got miles away from there either. And it was scary. Still bothers me a bit today. I remember seeing what it was, and you don't want to mess with it. Now, so there's some little updates, little inside. That's classified information. I guarantee you it is. They ain't going to say nothing because they don't want me to tell where it's at. So, a little insurance. Now, questions?
Fukushima. Are we still of the opinion that that's not as radioactive as portrayed? Because Neil's done a post and seems to be contrary to what we had stated. And that's Neil's prerogative, but I just wanted to clarify for our members.
No, it's not exactly contrary. It's not exactly contrary. What you have to understand is that there is the capability to contain that is there. They're refusing to do so because it fits Agenda 21. Hmm. It's not difficult to understand. If you radiate everybody, you get rid of them. If you put very small amounts of plastics in everything that eats you up over a period of years, you get rid of those people. You shorten the lifespan. You shorten the capability of them being functional. They intentionally have been releasing the contaminated water into the ocean. Okay? Now, you know, it ain't difficult to get the picture real quick when you understand that that's what's been going on. Otherwise, it could be contained. There are methods that can be used. There are microorganisms that can that eats things that are radioactive and produces inert excrement from it. There's a lot of ways to attend to this stuff. The advanced technologies that we have had on the shows can deal with it. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different ways. How come nobody wants to do anything? That's the question. And who's telling them not to do anything? Who is it that ordered that power company to dump all that friggin' contaminated water in the ocean and kill more fish, contaminate more things so it kills more of us? Who is ordering this stuff? That's the question. Once we find that out, then we can start addressing the situation much better, I think. Okay?
Yes. Ukraine, there's been come up an issue again, and it seems to be correlated with a number of other invading countries or invaded countries. The issue of the pyramids in Ukraine, have you got anything, comments on that? So this is like Afghanistan, the ancient technology there. Iraq was ancient technology. Iran has advanced technology.
Yep.
Is this related again?
They've come up against a wall. They can't advance what they're into the areas they want to because they don't have the understanding of how the technology works. Very simply, they're still hunting for the answers. They want to find a Rosetta Stone that translates things. Some of the languages, I to make this perfectly clear, some of the languages in hieroglyphic forms or pictorial forms are not something we can translate. We don't got a clue. And there's no clue in terms of the repetition that actually formulates into something we could use a computer program to figure out in terms of a language. These are the linguistic mainframes that they use and that they have in several universities. Same thing's true of the Dead Sea Scrolls. A lot of that stuff is not words that make sense. let's see here. The fundamental energy shifts involved in shape, location, and formulation. In other words, if you have two or three shapes that do a combination of things on their own, and you put them together, you get something different. And these kinds of technologies, they would love to be able to reinitiate the jump rooms. Only problem is that they've been contaminated. Some of them have been sealed. They would love to be able to have an out, and that out's been cut off pretty much. And so what we're left with is a knowledge of the existence of technologies far beyond anything we got, but you got to be able to understand that technology in terms of being able to turn it on. Where do you plug the battery in? What kind of energy should that battery have? I mean, there's questions that they just don't have a clue to. I already defined and discerned a lot of this working with my mentor. That man's a friggin' genius. I can't say enough good things about the man. But even so, you get into things that people don't understand the realities of. Each and every last thing, whether it's hard physical or not, to include energies and auxiliary energies, offers a certain type of fluid dynamics. When people understand fluid dynamics, they can then apply those things. This is where you get your scalar effects. This is how HARP affects things. You're changing the dynamics, the fluid dynamics of the atmosphere in such a manner that it does certain things. Same thing's true of the planet. If you invert a signal and aim it at the planet, it goes in. It does not as such charge something as we think of it, but causes a lack of charge, which moves other things around. If this is directional, then you can cause something to move, and you get the results like what happened in Haiti. There's your earthquake machine, and this is real basic stuff I'm talking about. When you get into Jump rooms where you actually traverse an area. Well, are you actually traversing the area? Or are you actually bending space-time and actually just simply walking out on the other side? And when you walk out on the other side, the loop opens back up to where it was normal again. These are little questions that are bugging or whatever out of certain scientists right now. They'd love to understand that, but they don't quite get the gist of it. It's sort of like interactive spherical dynamics. If you create two fields and overlap them, you create a third field. Hell, what is that third field? What is it composed of? How does it work? What does it do? And if you can't get a solid object to stay solid while in the overlap area, it makes it real difficult to take readings. It's hard to figure out, you know, my goodness, what did I do now? Well, maybe we got to adjust this and adjust that. And they've been playing with this stuff for years. Operation Looking Glass was the reason we ended up with Vaseline glass. There are certain ideology areas that scientists have trouble getting their heads around. If you take a sphere, one made out of aluminum, and you put a certain amount of mercury in it, and you spin it, you get all kind of far-out results. Spin it the other way, you get other far-out results. Okay, so then what do? Well, you end up with things like what the Germans had during World War II, Vril. Think about this now. We accumulated all that science. Well, where did it go? Well, it's top secret. Oh, Groom Lake, Area 51. Oh, my, they're hiding under the mountains and doing weird stuff. Well, yeah, and Groom Lake's not the place anymore. There are others that are much more prolific. The ideology that you can produce a simple wave, and all you got to have is a plain old AM transistor radio and a little bit of an amplifier, power amplifier, and a speaker and a piece of PVC pipe about 4 foot long, and you can cause earthquakes. What's the limitation? I mean, how far does the limitation go? Well, we've run into a blockade, and that blockade prevents us from being able to do what was done in Star Trek in terms of time jump, in terms of multiples of the speed of light. Well, what happens when you take the speed of light and square it, and you ride on that square? Well, think about that. Speed of light's pretty fast. Think about being able to travel at that speed. Okay, now this is more of a linear explanation than a true physical or spherical one, where you bend space-time. In other words, as you would lose the picture, something would go into hyperspace or hyperjump. As you lose the picture on this side, it's formulating on the other side and becomes a reality almost at the same time that you lose the one on this side. Very, very, very close. Close enough, it takes a real fine set of instruments to be able to see that differential. But you just went 50, 100, 1,000 light years in a matter of fractions of a second. Okay, this is the kind of advanced technologies that I'm familiar with. I know how to produce these things. Oh, the military and everybody else would just love to get their skinners on that, and I won't tell them squat. It just frustrates them to death. So you have to be able to understand that pyramidic sciences, if you look at a pyramid and you really understand one, you'll find that each of the sides, and you can look at the Great Pyramid and see this, is in fact a lens. It is concave from the outside, but on the inside, it's convex. Now, you look into lensing, you'll find what those two different types of lenses do. If you have something of the mass of the Great Pyramid, you also, doesn't matter what kind of stone you use, but if you specifically pick a certain kind, it intensifies a thing called the piezoelectric effect. This is where you can go out in your yard, and this is a nice, neat little science experiment. Get you a piece of inch and a quarter steel pipe. Have it threaded on both ends. Anywhere from, I'll say, 4 to 6 inches long. Put the cap on one end tight. And I mean tight as you can get it. Use pipe wrenches to get that sucker tight. Go out in the yard someplace or to a neighbor's or whatever, and don't piss the neighbors by going over in their flower bed and borrowing stuff without asking them first. Most of people frown on people digging around their petunias. Ask them first. What you want is you want the white gravel. The more crystalline structure in it, the better. And what you want to do is you want to take that white gravel and break it into pieces about the size of a thumbnail. You want to fill your little pipe with this. Then you want white silicon sand. You want to fill up all the little spaces. Shake that mojammer, tap with a hammer, whatever you got to do. Shake it until it won't take anymore. Then, on the open end, go about half an inch past the top of the pipe. Take your other cap and screw it down on there. You want to have an insulated electrical wire. You have drilled a hole in the cap on the one end that you're leaving on permanent. Stuck a wire in the middle of it. On the other end, you want to simply have something that you can directly connect to the pipe. What you want to do is you want to crank that last cap down tight. The tighter you crank it, the higher the voltage reading you'll get with your multimeter. There's a battery, an atomic battery. Think about that. Now, there's a nice little something that you could consider. If you can make them strong enough, think about the battery in your car. It gets low a little bit. You get the wrench out and tighten that mother up, and hey, we just recharged the battery. Start the car up and go on down the road. Okay?
Yes. Some positive news that's just come through. Your comments, please, on the convention of the states issued to Georgia today.
Excellent.
It's been passed by the House by a good majority.
Okay, there's a lot that goes into this. People have not kept up on the news, don't know about the Attorney General's taking on the federal government and their overreach. And I'm talking about the federal government overreach, playing games with rights, initiating horseshit like Obamacare when they didn't have to do that, and all these other things that the federal government thinks that we are to be their little kids, and they're going to be the nanny, and we're going to be good little boys and girls in school. Horseshit. People want their freedom. They want to be able to decide for themselves what they think should be done about certain things, and then take it and, hey, what do you guys think about this? Present it to someone. Could be a citizen's grand jury, town hall meeting, variety of things in there. However, the states have had just about enough of the federal government stomping on them, and you have a load of attorney generals who have brought this issue up, and the issue goes right to the governor's office. There are a lot of governors out there who don't like the way the state is being sucked dry by the federal government for no good reason. So the idea of a constitutional convention has hit the news. So long as we get people in there we think we can trust and they won't turn us into a communist state overnight, which I kind of doubt, I'm all for it. This is why I'm going to get involved with the citizens' grand jury, so that they can have a legal basis. Maybe the great state of West Virginia can get involved in this. I don't know if they are or not at this point. I haven't contacted the Attorney General's office, but I do intend to. The neat part about this is that people want their constitutional rights back. The Homeland Security Act, that subjugated the majority of our rights to any ideology, to include rumor, without representation, a whole bunch of other things. This is where the warrantless excursions into people's houses comes from. The NSA gets their so-called permission to spy on anybody they feel like, and all that. That's where all this stuff originates from. Now, it does come from earlier times. Those earlier times deal with North Korea, North Vietnam, and other socialist, communist ideologies. So you have to understand that I think this is a great thing. I would love to see people go for constitutionality over oligarchy. I am tired of people, because they've got a position in the federal government, not having to answer for what they've done in a court of law. Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton, Obama, there's a whole load of names that need to be adjudicated, and I mean adjudicated stiffly. And this is a part of it. The second part of this that I would urge all of these constitutional convention people who are really interested in it do is to look into the 1787 Constitution that includes the 13th Amendment. And why does it do that? Well, because it was ratified. The only thing we don't have is the official notification of that ratification. That's the only thing that's missing from everything I can find so far. I went on a witch hunt. And you have to understand all of the parameters, all of the issues involved in that. I believe that was posted on the website. People have a lot of learning to do so they know what's going on well enough and understand it in a practical type of application sort of deal. You know what to do with a hammer. Well, if you use a legality like a hammer, we might be able to fix things pretty quick. And that's what I'm looking at. Okay?
Yes. Right. Questions. Drake, your intel has said all along that World War III was off the table. It was not going to happen. Does your intel with the current events still say World War III is off the table?
Absolutely. People have been informed by myself personally and in other manners exactly what that entails. And when a person is in some form or another responsible for the population of a country, in other words, it ain't just 2,000 or 3,000 people, but millions, you have to understand that responsibility is similar to what the old-time rulers, the kings and queens, used to be. They went out with the people and made sure that the people had their needs seen to, at least to some extent. That don't mean that they went out and gave away the kingdom. What it meant was that they went out and brought some of the treasury with them so that the people who needed money to eat would have some. They went out to see whether or not they couldn't take a person who was crippled and put them into some kind of position so they could be self-supportive. Nobody wants that handout, charity stuff. Nobody. And I mean that quite literally. Why? Well, because the handout charity problem is that the person handing that out is the person who wants to rule over you and be in charge. Anybody that's ever dealt with welfare, food stamps, or any of that, or benefits of any kind, knows all about it. So the people who are in a position to do something and say something about the manner in which a country operates, the way it does its business, and the responsibility it sees towards its people, those countries who have been more or less responsible, all are saying, uh-uh. And they are willing to do whatever they can in terms of influence, maybe a little money, not necessarily a lot, have a tendency to pull the plug on anything of that nature. Because he who rules also gets a bomb dropped on him. So it's in their best interest. Everybody's. Okay?
Yes. Quick question before the music break. How soon is it before your book goes to press?
I'm going to try to get it up tomorrow. I got it all ready to go, and then I'm getting arguments from different things, better known as computer programs. Me and computers get along about like folks don't like each other. And it don't matter if I hit the right button, it does the wrong thing. And the cabinet for my computer's got knuckle bumps like you wouldn't believe, because I find when it acts up and I knuckle bump its bony little head, it tends to act right. So I was going to take a 12, but the guy that's holding the computer says, hey, your money, you can waste that thing. If you want to supply, I sure feel like you see, I know. And he started laughing too. It's not that I'm totally inept and stupid, but a computer program has its own ideas of what should be done, and it likes to exercise that and laugh at me. And all that does is make me mad, so it's got knuckle bumps in its cabinet.
Yes, I've had first-hand experience of listening to that. Right, okay, we're at the end of the hour, and we'll be back in about 7 or 8 minutes. Bye for now.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Forward. security lies in your bed of white foam. You act concerned, but then why turn away? When a lady was raped on your doorstep today.
Hi all, and welcome back to the final hour of Drake's Vital Thursday update shows. And Drake, are you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm always ready. I don't know what for what, but we can always find something I can get into.
Yes. Any comments on cease and desist?
Any comments on it?
Yeah.
Well, that's that was just a warning shot, basically. And but it's also interesting. I haven't heard back from anybody on Facebook or otherwise in our considerable group that has decided to go down and notarize and sign the document and present it to anybody of consequence. I'm waiting for that to happen. I want to see somebody make the news. If everybody gets my drift, go for it. All right?
Drake, is Martin Dempsey a Knights of Malta? If he is, does that mean he's working for the Cabal?
All right. Each and every last one of these secret societies, groups, organizations, etc., have had splits in them. Those splits are those who would go along with the Agenda 21 fun and games cabal BS, and the other side says, uh-uh, that's horse hockey. You don't do it that way. We are supposed to exercise our power for the good of the situations, conditions of the people. This is a basic split. Dempsey could be either one, but it depends on the actions of the individual. Is it Kabbalistic? All you have to do is run that through your little computer, and you're going to see that some things are right and some things are wrong. And sometimes people will appear to be something that they're not. This is age old, as everybody does know, and that's that two-way street I talk about, where something looks like it's doing this when it's actually doing something different. Well, the same thing applies in terms of the ideologies involved and the lean or lint or direction an individual takes. The premise of all this is that it's up to each individual at the time an incident comes their way, they're involved in something or whatever, to make the decision. Do you want to continue with problems and continue to foment them, continue to protect those who don't deserve to be protected because of what they've done? Or do you do the morally correct thing of what your still small voice of a conscience directs you to do? This is the basic question, and we've got away from that. A lot of people don't hear their consciences. You see a whole bunch of them going to church trying to absolve themselves of the manner in which they've acted all week so they can start another one and do as they please. And, oh, Lord, save me. I'm sorry. I won't do it again until next week. hypocrites all. Then to take that a step further, Knights of Malta, I know what they originally were supposed to be. The Knights Templar, I know what they were originally supposed to be. The Jesuits, the Jesuit Order, what it was supposed to originally be. If somebody really wants to know and have a working knowledge, you need to do the combination research into the past, into the development and future, okay? Then look at the incidences that arise where these people take definitive actions one way or the other. Then you'll know what that particular group has kept in the way of what their original founding ideology was, or the changes that they've made over the period of time. And you got to remember, the great corruptor is simply loving something that cannot return love to the extent that you'll do anything to acquire it. Be that money, position, power, or whatever. This is that love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money itself. Money's not evil. It ain't a great system. we can do without it, I think. But it's the love of that. Ooh, the guy that shows off, flaunts themselves, the people biblically that were dressed finely and in the front row so they could show themselves off to the church and everybody else. These types of things have got to be addressed to where the people who could do that, the people who do have the influence and power, bring the poor, unfit, people who need the belief of the salvation offered to the front row, giving up their seat to those people. And then after the meeting, making sure they got a job. There's a whole bunch of things that could be done, and done rather drastically quickly. It would turn a whole bunch of this stuff around. And yet, I have yet to see, as a certain person described it, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. Why is this? Well, people are rich because they don't give it away. They don't let go of it. Not necessarily their holdings, but because they selfishly accrue and keep to themselves. This is the Ebenezer Scrooge counting his gold coins. This is the Bernanke's of the world going, we got you now. This is the Kissingers of the planet who would give away freedom in order to settle long-running disputes because the people are so beaten that they would do anything for peace, give up everything they got, all their freedoms, all their rights. This is the ideology. They want to beat you down and control you to an extent where you say, anything, I don't care, what do you want me to do? Well, go over there and get in that gas oven and we're going to turn you on and that'll be the end of you. You mean I have peace if I do that? Oh, yeah. Bingo. There was a lot of people who walked willingly into situations that they shouldn't have walked willingly into. It'd be much better to take a machine gun fire. It'd be much better to forfeit your life than to put up with that. And when people get to the point where they understand what's at stake, what the jeopardy is, what the dangers are, and how realistic and honestly real and right there in front of you that these things are, when people as a whole start realizing this, it's been stated that if the people knew what we were doing, they'd hang us from the nearest tree, the nearest lamppost. Well, I don't advocate doing that, but we need to get to the point where we're willing to take that drastic of an action. We need to get to the point where principle over profit, where true righteousness in terms of being able to take care of problems that exist so that you don't end up with a Ukraine or a Syria or the attitudes of the, and everybody's going to love this one, the attitudes expressed openly and publicly between Iran and Israel. That's a good, you know, and everybody's going, ooh, Israel's surrounded. Yeah, well, there's a reason for that. You don't run tanks after civilians. You just don't do that. Well, was it a civilian? In most cases, yes. Why? How can you tell an insurgent fighter from a regular civilian when they live and work in a certain area? You can't. Unless you know that person's mind, you can't. Well, they fired rockets from over there, so we're going to obliterate that whole block. Sorry about the orphanage and the hospital and the school and all them kids, but we're not going to put up with that. Well, I'm sorry, but that's a sorry excuse. Anybody who does such things is guilty of crimes against humanity. I hope you're hearing me, Mr. Netanyahu. you're a scab on the good conscience of the planet. You are going against people who are related to the Hebrew race, and you're actually causing and creating, from your standpoint, the same thing you put up with from Hitler. And I really disagree with your attitude, and I don't agree with Iran's any more than you do. I don't agree with the ideology that any belief system is superior to any other, no matter what that they say it is or is not, according to the all of the reads I've done. And yes, I've read the Quran, and yes, I've read the Bible, and yes, I've read innumerable books on just about every belief system going. Each one of them is superior to everybody else's. And they say so at one point or another, in some manner or another. Well, God says that we are equal. My unalienable rights say that nobody has the right to act or play act as God, period. Therefore, no one has the right to take another's life unless yours is directly in jeopardy. Now, that don't go well. A lot of police out there ain't acted right. They've done things that they probably regret. There's a lot of people who have been in a position where they want to object to this or that, and yet the truth and basis is that none of this should be. The animosity between races, the animosity between belief systems shouldn't be. You have to be able to be secure enough in your own knowledge of what is and what is not correct to be able to not worry about it. It doesn't matter if a person's a Muslim, a Jew, Hindu, Christian. It doesn't matter. What matters is what they do about it. Ooh, well, they're saying that we're wrong. Well, that's not correct either. It's much better to have somebody believe in a standard of living in terms of the manner in which they conduct themselves than not to have anything at all. And I suggest that the ACLU start trying to see what they can do about putting the Ten Commandments back in all of those public places they decided to take them away from. That there's nothing wrong with a memorial to World War troops that has a big cross on it. And no, I don't care if somebody thinks it's offensive. If it's so offensive, build a mosque right close. Put the, you know, put things together. Let's honestly represent everybody. It's stated, no public place, United States, no public place can offer a nativity scene without offending people. Well, bring your nativity scene, whatever that may consist of, and put it right next to this one. Let everybody enjoy the ideology of what's there. Let's go back. Let's revert back to the Hebraic idea that everybody is family, and whether you're related directly or not, that there is blood between you. Let's revert back to the ideology that I came up to these hills for, the moralities of the 50s of respect, honor, trust, things of this nature, where an individual does not have to feel animosity because of their own fear of the unknown of someone they're dealing with, where a man can be trusted on the content of his character, irrespective as to what he believes, irrespective of the color of his skin or where he comes from. It don't matter. Now, I do have one objection to all of it. If you come to America, become a part of the country. I didn't say give up your cultural heritage at all. I said become a part of the country. Those who can, please learn to speak English so that we can understand you. And the difference between being able to understand someone and not goes to accent. It may not be easy for a Russian or a Chinaman to speak English. It may come out sounding a little funny, but that can be addressed over a period of time. Just like if you went to Russia or China, imagine you're Russian in China. Chinese would sound a little bit odd to them, too. So, you know, accept these things. Learn to get around them. Learn to be able to live on a planet that's too small to hide from everybody now. This is what we got to deal with. Plus, each and every last one of us knows that we should be free. That's the crux of it. You give a person freedom and then help them exercise it. Ooh, boy, you talk about something that's awesome. There it is. Next.
Thanks for that, Drake. That's rather good. The only thing I would perhaps slightly disagree, is being an immigrant here, as I think part of the issues of someone coming from a foreign country to and moving is carrying your culture with you. Personally, I think you have to leave your culture behind. I haven't come here to be a British American. I've come here to act and behold, to become an American. I think a lot of the religious issues and the cultural issues is what creates the divide to do with the immigrants. So I understand what you're saying, but I think you have to, in many ways, leave your culture behind. You've left that country and you have to adopt the culture of your new country. And it helps with the transition immensely. The ones who I know here who have come from England or Scotland or the UK and retained the British culture have all failed here for one reason or another.
You're missing one of the things I'm saying, okay?
Yep.
All right. Yes, assimilate into our culture. Now, that don't mean you got to accept everything, but assimilate yourself into our culture to the point where you can be the American that you want to be so that you can be as free as possible here in the land of free. Now, I'm saying that tea. I like tea and crumpets. Sorry, but if that disagrees with somebody, I also happen to like the idea of a siesta that the Mexicans bring out, Latinos, whatever you want to handle, you want to put on it.
Yep.
I honestly believe that cultural heritage should be something of importance because that cultural heritage can be the driving force to assimilate yourself into this culture. And that's the part that I'm talking about more than just, you know, you got to hang on it or keep it or anything like that. But I can't drink coffee anymore. My kidneys won't take it. Well, I used to drink tea all the time, and guess what I started doing? I drink tea now.
Good.
So, you know, there you go. In the land of coffee, I drink tea.
Right. Next question. Why is it taking so long for the economy to crash in America? Is it because the U.S. is the Illuminati's last stronghold?
That's pretty much correct. Plus, you have a certain amount of money in the pipeline. It's like an hourglass. You know, it's going to last a specific amount of time. And yet, if you actually watch an hourglass and really study it carefully, you'll find that two things happen. When you first start it, it goes quickly. Then it slows down to a very medium or balanced effect for quite a while. Then as it starts getting toward the end, it goes quickly again. Money or pipeline supply, as they call it, you have to look at you want something by such and such, and you need it by such and such. It's called a wants and needs period, and it's common in retail. It's common in construction and a lot of businesses. That wants and needs period, the pipeline, you need something by such and such because you're going to be at this point in your readiness to start the next stage or the next step. If you're going to have a sale, you want to have your stuff before the needs arrives. So you want it a couple of days ahead of time so you can polish the cans or whatever it is you're putting on the shelf. In painting, you want to have the weather cooperate, first of all, if you're doing exterior work. But you also need to know that you've got a supply of the paint necessary, and you've got to be able to get it, bring it to the job site, put it in a place where you know that it's going to be used that day or whatever the situation may be, like plywood, boards, whatever. So the ideology of monetary control is simple. There is still a large amount of funds in the pipeline, and those funds probably would carry us another 2 years if it was not interrupted. The problem with that is that it's just about to get interrupted, and it's going to be done by people you know, myself being one of them. We're going to turn the spigot off and see what happens and go from there, hopefully sooner than later. Next.
Do you know if there are any countries that don't spray chemtrails because their governments do not agree with it?
Oh, boy. There's a few they don't bother with, but you're dealing with the International Science Foundation, the World Health Organization, and the Geoengineering Group. They are international and very complex. The agreements and contracts and everything are very secretive. But if they decided to spray someplace, they could. Why somebody hasn't put a stop to them before now, I have no idea. To me, if somebody had some kind of an old fighter plane, I'd squirrel around on the black market and replace the 50 caliber machine guns or whatever it was they had on them. I'd go hunting. That's basically me. Surface-to-air missiles. There's a lot of different answers to these things. Then I get this objection. What about the people on board? I said, really? You got maybe 100 people if it's a passenger jet. You got to remember that. Most of them ain't passenger jets. And they're going to spray several million people? Well, I think that they, should have checked tailpipe emissions before they got on board. That's my assessment of it. And sorry about it, but so what? If somebody takes a direct action against the actions of the cabal in such a manner that it cannot be ignored, then you're going to start making mainstream media. Now, I'm going to suggest this, and everybody might want to think about it. If something was to not work right on one of these aircraft, it's going to come down. If it happened to be a direct action taken against a chemtrail plane, and that plane got shot down, that would make mainstream media. It's hard to ignore an aircraft of that size crashing into the woods. It really is. It makes a big mess, among other things. It would be especially nice if it could be found out which of the aircraft were the specific chemtrail planes and drop one coming out of its base, wherever that may be. If it's an airport, military base, doesn't matter. if you want to make headlines and bring everybody's awareness up, ooh, it's an act of terrorism. Ooh, well, what was on board that aircraft? If it is known, and you get those chemicals spread in concentrated form, not in a powder and light mist that comes out of the craft itself at altitude, but on the ground, you're going to have people that walk in there die. You're going to have investigators get sick. They're going to want to know what the hell was on that airplane. You follow what I'm saying. This is the kind of thing that would definitely cause problems to keep the thing secret. Well, who was authorizing that air flight? Oh, that's classified military. Oh, really? Okay. Go to a airfield that is not military, and, oh, interesting set of tanks you got on an airplane. You know, it's real simple. These things have all been exposed. You've seen the pictures online. That's real. The same thing's true of the policeman who decides to murder somebody because they're being disagreeable and they don't want to fool with it, or for whatever reason they happen to kill somebody. What happens if the people, and I saw one incident on a subway platform where there were thousands of people. And I tell you right now, if the people decided to take that man into custody, he would be taken into custody, period. Then you find out whether or not the police are going to do anything. And if the same numbers of people continue to object to anything other than adjudication for murder or, at the very least, manslaughter one, then you're into the area of straightening it out. It's just like ironing a sheet. You can't have folds and whatnot in it. You got to flatten it out on the ironing board. If it's got starch in it, you use a dry iron and solidify the starch. I mean, if not, you spray it on a little bit damp, use a steam iron on high, and bingo, you get the same starch effect. There's varying ways to do these things. Just taking somebody to court, well, justice system's broke, so that ain't going to exactly work real well. But, and there are several incidents of this all over the country, internationally, where the people have had enough. They're not going to take it anymore. I'm not bending over for the government anymore, or an official that feels like they can do anything they want and are above the law. When these things start getting addressed directly, then you're going to start seeing a sudden change. This is why I advocated absconding with somebody. Pick one. Any name will do. And it don't matter even if they're in the system. If they're still being guarded, doesn't matter. Because you can spot the guards a mile away and take them out in whatever form necessary and then abscond with the individual. It's not uncommon in a lot of foreign countries to do just exactly that. A lot of the mobsters do that. Lucky Luciano got taken for a ride and lived. That's why they called him Lucky. Okay, well, maybe this person could be taken for a ride and live to be adjudicated. Now think about that. Think about having a warrant. Think about having a body attachment warrant. Think about having the transportation warrant. Think about having these things in place and taking one of these people. When that happens, you're going to see a massive turnaround. Oh, we're going to fight. Well, no, you ain't. You can't. Why? Well, look what they did. Here it is. I mean, you know, you present the video, documentation, and witnesses. That's a slam dunk, period. Now, you find, oh, we're going to handle this internally. Hell no, you're not. Uh-uh. Mr. Policeman, no. You're not going to be handling this with internal affairs. You're going to be handling this publicly in court. There's a difference. Well, what does the court say? Oh, he has a right to. No, he doesn't. Uh-uh. Not according to law, he doesn't. And if the judge disagrees, then bring him into this next court you go to. Go through the court system until you find one that will listen to the law. What's the law say? The law says you don't just play and kill people. That ain't something you get to do. You do not get to play with people's lives. When those things start stopping, and you do this a few places, you know, pick a half a dozen cities where these things have gone on. Bingo. Wrongful death. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can be done, but do them correctly. There's no necessity for a mob rule as such, except in certain specific cases. Now, I'll say it again. There was thousands of people on that friggin' subway platform. They should have come out there and should have come out swinging. They should have taken those cops into custody, all of them, because the ones that were with that guy aided and abetted him. Bingo. You see what I'm saying? When they find out that if you associate with something of that nature, you're liable to have problems, think about the changes and go from there. I mean, citizen grand jury works. I'm going to get involved. Next.
China and Russia have a chance to crush the Illuminati now with the threat to dump the U.S. debt. What are they waiting for? Why don't they take the opportunity to end humanity's misery right now?
Well, they're still busy cleaning up their own backyard, for one thing, and believe me, that is extraordinary. Think about the size of Russia and the people, and the number of people in it, which one's a crook and which one ain't. A large load of the, quote, bad guys, Illuminati or whatever you want to call them, have been told to leave certain areas. And if you want to check the records, you can find that there were an extraordinary amount of flights out of the Southeast Asia area. Everybody was fleeing for their lives because they were told that they were going to be snatched and executed. Now, I want you to think about that real close. Remember what I said here? Well, snatched and executed. If you've been taking lives and causing misery and being a problem in a lot of places, just because you did that, you're done. Okay, Russia's been cleaning up their problems at a very nice, steady pace. They've been being careful about what they do, and I don't blame them for that. If you read what Putin says about what he's doing in the Ukraine and the manner in which they will handle it, you'll find that all of a sudden you run into this brick wall where you can't get any information. Contact the State Department in Russia and ask them if you could please know what's going on so that you can address the idiot Obama that has the battleship mouth that looks like it's going to overload his motorboat butt kind of thing, and you'll get a lot of cooperation. It's pretty simple, okay?
After Plan A, how far down the line will Plan B and Plan C be implemented?
It's beginning to come about now. Right now we're in the secondary part of Plan A. There may be a third part, but I kind of doubt it. We're probably going to be looking at Plan B very, very shortly, and that will be the point at which we start taking actions, and I mean direct actions, okay?
Right. You've talked in the past about what will happen to mortgages. I presume this is to do with Nasara. What would happen with reverse mortgages? Any ideas?
Well, basically a reverse mortgage is a trap. what it does basically is they stop the mortgage payments that you've been making, and they start paying against the equity in your home certain amount monthly. There's a problem with that. Each and every last one of these reverse mortgages allows you to retain ownership of the home. Now, what that means is that the lender, the person that's actually buying your equity by making the payments to you each month, don't have no obligations. When you reach the point where you're at the end of that, if you take the full value of your house and put it into a position of payments, you're going to find that the payments probably doubled or tripled. And if you can afford that, more power to you. Most people can't. And at the end of the mortgage situation, basically the house is generally underwater. I know this don't sound good, but this is basically the scheme that it is. So when the estate goes to sell the thing, your kids and the people involved in the estate, unless they absolve themselves of all interest, get to pay whatever the difference is, and that could be humongous. And this is a problem in terms of, gotcha, you don't even see it coming. It's down the road a ways. Remember them plastics I told you about? You get a little bit when you're a little kid, and when you're in your 40s or 50s, all of a sudden you start having diabetes and all these other problems. Same sort of an illness, it's just financial. Different deal, but it gets you in the end anyway. Basically, you don't owe, and here's why. The premise of a mortgage is that you, for the convenience of making payments instead of actually outright buying the place, are obligated to pay X amount over a certain period of time. If you look at any mortgage, and I don't care what it is, multiply whatever you bought the place for times 3 at least. That's basically what you're paying. So unless you really got a good lawyer who knows the ins and outs of finance, you might find that you have that problem if one of your relatives has a reverse mortgage. As far as payments to you, no. Those payments would stop, but you have to also understand a whole bunch of other things will too. Basically, all the taxes you've been paying have quit. Bingo. That, you know, that should in and of itself make a big difference. You're going to have to understand that the healings offered, and we've had these people on the show through that particular type of technology and others, is designated to become commonplace. And by commonplace, I mean that literally. You may not need to have a machine in your house. You might be able to walk through a machine 20, 30 minutes later, come out healed, permanently healed. Not something that's going to quit when the painkiller wears off or whatever, but permanently healed. This is being worked on at high level. One of the problems is that people want to regulate, and the Food and Drug Administration doesn't approve anything of alternative medicine, period. None of it. I want to make it perfectly clear. None of it. None of it is sanctioned as authorized as being real. However, when these people run out of money, they will change their tune. This is one of the reasons for the ideology of taking down the financial systems, but seeing to the needs of the people. That means the regulatory agencies can go someplace else for a job. We're not hiring them. and you can get your machines, your healings, your supplements at work, your cures. All of these things will become commonplace. Different sort of society. And along with that, the humanitarian needs of a people. And I'm talking about like everybody in the United States needs to have a decent place to live, food to eat, clothes to wear, and something to do. All those things are going to be supplied in a certain basic manner. So don't worry about it. And I know it. I don't know how quick we're going to be doing this, but it's getting quicker, closer to culmination, to finish. And when we cross the finish line, believe me, everybody and their mother and all know about it. Okay?
Yes. A person who bought dinars spent $1,000 and got $1,000,000, but there was no paperwork involved. Will this be an issue when it's time to cash them in?
Well, it depends on whether or not you have the physical holdings in your fingers. If you got the physical holdings in your fingers, it shouldn't be a problem. That's like trying to prove where you bought a tool that you had for 10 years. Where's the receipt? You know, I ain't got one. I mean, geez. Oh, well, you got to have a receipt. Well, no, you don't. Not really. People know I've had this tool for a long time. And I can get people that sort of thing. You buy gold coins. Yeah, I can get a receipt. I get a receipt generally when I go spend, you know, that kind of money. Or silver, either one. But I don't worry about it either. What you've got on hand in terms of assets basically is yours. Now, I did put an article out about the dinar. You need to read that. It's posted on the website, AmericanNationalMilitia.com. And the reason I put it out is because it's the first time I found somebody that was actually honest in their presentation. Didn't pull punches and didn't play games. Whether it's going to be able to be redeemed is also questionable. That's something else you got to know. This is why I don't suggest anybody invest in currency forms other than something that is basically accepted all over the place, silver and gold being two of them. There's others. Platinum is acceptable, but I don't know that it will retain the same value that gold and silver will. People are beginning to buy gold and silver again. The market's going up. Well, that's because there's a shortage of it. Why is there a shortage of it? If these people got all this money in this pipeline, how come the gold and silver price is going up? Simple. It's a real asset. You've invested in a piece of paper that says basically this or that. Stock market's the same way. The stock market's probably going to pop. Not too much. I don't see it going very much further, and it's going to pop like a big zit. And you're talking about losing a third of the value of it in one day. Anybody that's borrowed money to get into the stock market needs to pull their funds out of the friggin' stock market and get clear of that shit. That's a piece of paper. If it does not state, and you don't have the stock certificate in your hand, it states that you are a part owner of the company. You don't own nothing but a piece of paper that looks good, and some people like to buy and sell them. Same thing with currencies. Now, keep some cash on hand, yeah, because the Federal Reserve note will be continually honored for quite some time. It's supposed to be an exchange program between the Treasury on the American dollar and the Federal Reserve note. The Federal Reserve note will be retired in this country. That's something people are not aware of. I haven't stated it before that I remember. So, you know, be prepared. You know, I wouldn't buy it in dollars, and I've been offered. I wouldn't do it because of the volatility of currencies, and you can watch the TV and see them going up and down and sideways. You can see the stock market going up and down and sideways. Not a good investment when it does that. You need something that has a basic intrinsic value and gives you a steady comprehensive return. You can stipulate in terms of any kind of investment the manner in which you get paid back. I would suggest gold and silver. Then you at least get a something of real value. They're never worth nothing unless, of course, you ain't got food. Then the gold and silver is not going to make a good omelet. if you ain't got water, it's hard to liquefy them and drink them. But having a currency where you can buy those things, that gives you at least some leverage to be able to maybe survive, depending on how nasty things get. So, you know, play it by ear. I wouldn't invest in dinars right now, period. That's my take.
Yeah. As the Fed's 100-year contract reign has already ended and people got fed up with this corporational monstrosity, what do you foresee and what should have happened in a normal sovereign country?
Well, the IRS and the Fed went back under the Treasury. They probably don't act like it. Central Bank seems to think that it's immune to everything, so it's still pumping along. You probably got it at most 2 years, and I'm going to tell you that you ain't got that long. Basically, things are going to start coming unglued pretty quickly here, and be prepared for that to happen. There may be a period of time where you're on your own in terms of food, water, and shelter. Basically, you need something to protect yourself with and be able to survive for, I'd say a week or two. After that, then you'll probably see things start opening back up and people going back to normal. Now, businesses will still be open. You'll probably still be able to get paid. I would suggest cash in lieu of a check, because if you've got a closed bank, it's hard to redeem that check, this type of thing. Prepare yourself for the eventual possibilities. And it's not stated in terms of something that is carved in stone that's absolute as of yet. When I find out the absolutes, I definitely will bring them up to everybody's attention. Okay?
Yeah. Who exactly is the provost marshal that has arrest authority? I thought the provost marshal was only for military personnel. And what's his or her name, please?
I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but I've got the documentation here in the office that states that civilians can be arrested by military. And this is a proven fact. It is a convoluted method. It's not simple like filing an affidavit for cause and then getting a warrant and going and getting somebody. It's not as simple as that. You're getting into a whole bunch of specific areas, specific actions taken by an individual. Provost Marshal is designed or designated to be a protectorate of a combination of things. First priority is military. However, during the stock market crash and problems that we had, the provost marshal at that time lined up the paddy wagons on Wall Street and was ready to take them all to jail. So, yeah, there are situations, and basically what happened in that situation was the provost marshal was told to stand down, remove the, you know, go home. I really wish they'd stayed and basically greeted everybody that come out of the building. I would have loved if, that would have done it, because then you would have taken the heart out of the basic financial scheme known as Wall Street. Okay.
Right. Probably final question: are the bankers that are bankers' deaths, are they being murdered because they know the secrets about the cabal? that can expedite their coming extinction.
Exactly. They have some kind of proofs or witnesses to something or a part of some kind of something that has transpired that they don't want out. These are supposedly the weak links in the financial system that basically revolve around the existence of these people. Now, if these people are smart, they got a hidey hole someplace with the original documentation. They've replaced the original documentation in their files with copies. If they're smart, they will have an insurance policy of that nature someplace. My suggestion is that they also take the offer that I have put out to get in touch with us for their protection. You really want to blow the lid off of it? Bring it on. We can blow the lid off of it. No problem. Okay?
Right. Final words from you, Drake?
Well, my main thing is this. You know about the pollution. That was in Neil Keenan's report. Now, I'm going to suggest that everybody get on the website and read that Plastics, the Mother Jones article. And I seriously mean that, because this is another form of the Agenda 21 designed to destroy and kill us all. Now, people are going to have to start standing up to this at one point or another, or they're going to get you too. Just that simple. You know, I didn't defend these people over here when they came for them. I didn't defend the neighbor they came for them. Now they're coming after me and anybody else to stand with me. I'm screwed. Well, that's basically the idea. They want to shut off the food and water to you. Now, they probably won't worry about the water. It's so polluted that if you drink it, it'd probably upset your stomach anyway. But if you can't eat, you go down. It takes about a week and you're done. You can't function any longer. So, you know, be aware. Look at these things. Think about laying up a little food and that sort of thing. Get ready. Get prepared. And that kind of thing. And my usual favorite, get her done.
Right. Thanks for that, Drake. That was a good show again. We'll be back next Thursday. And I'm glad we put some of the histrionics to bed tonight of what's happened this past week. It's less about individuals and personalities and more about the overall goal. And the final song reflects that. Bye for now. Inside my heart is breaking, my makeup may be flaking.
fairy tales of yesterday.